Say whatever you want, son.
Yeah, just bit bit. Hello and welcome back to the Big Kahuna Podcast. Fourth time lucky with the intro, so we left it to me to do it, alright? Introduce yourself there, please.
The King, Byron Kenny.
Thank you. And we've got Conor Muldoon, special guest today, sitting in the corner, as per usual. With his guitar in hand.
Okay, that was good. Finally.
Finally, yeah.
Good introduction.
You brought a bit of energy for once, yeah. Oh my god.
Really annoying me this week. You're really annoying me. Let me just tell the listeners here. Byron's been really annoying me this week. For reasons unknown. I'm not going to get into them.
Yeah, because you can't. Because there's no reason.
Let's just clear the air.
Yeah, okay.
Let's
talk
about what we're going to do tonight.
First of all, let me take the reins here, right? You've had three opportunities to do this.
First of all.
So we're going to be talking about the biggest event in the year.
Jeez, what's wrong with your fingernails? Go on.
They're perfectly fine, okay?
Go on.
I can't with you, man. I can't.
Okay, talk about what we're doing today.
Well, we're going to talk about the Oscars.
It's going to be a fun episode.
That's okay with you.
Of the biggest...
We're going to be just talking about the...
award season just gone by.
The highs, the lows.
The biggest winners, the biggest losers. Yeah, we're going to have a bit of crack with that.
And then...
And
then we'll be talking about Emma Stone,
Don't touch my lips ever again. Okay.
Don't say that to me, please, okay?
Okay.
I'm trying to record a podcast
here. I thought that we were going to kind of leave a bit of mystique around who the actress is going to be. But then I suppose it would be in the title of the podcast, so...
And I gave you three opportunities to do that as well.
Okay. Fair enough.
Here we go. Emma Stone, right? And then... close it off, to conclude the episode, if you would allow that to happen without, you know, stopping recording. We'll be talking about the movie of the week, The Road.
Absolute cracker. Firecracker.
Absolute boomer.
I will start off by saying that I did cry, because Byron is going to try and rib me about that. Crying is completely normal, guys. Anyways.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Starting off with the Oscars, what did you think about Al Pacino's little I don't know
brain
what you
fart.
Call it. Bit of a brain fart, yeah.
I just think he's acting like that normally these days. Listen, I think everyone's overreacting about on TikTok or fucking...
It was
Al
very...
Pacino.
It was very awkward.
He's about 105 years of age. And he's already won the damn Oscars a few times. He doesn't give a shite.
Who cares, man?
Let him live. That's
you still
what I
gotta do your job when you're up on stage.
Yeah, he was able to read the card out.
Just about.
That's
I
what he was
even say
put on the
My
stage to do, like...
I see... Oppenheimer... Question mark.
He's the GOAT. You cannot question him, right?
Do you think he's the GOAT actor of all time? Yeah, that's a throwaway statement there, Byron. You didn't
really?
Think about
why
that.
Why would you think that?
Well, why
Who's
do
better
you
than
think
him?
That?
Name one actor better than Al Pacino.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, tune into the Adam Sandler Experience, where we will justify that answer. All right, thank you very much. What do you think about Al Pacino's...
Embarrassing, I would say, for one. I think, like, it's not the hardest job in the world, is it?
He's ancient, man.
Come on stage, yeah. Shouldn't be doing it, so. So it's either up to the Oscars or up to
well,
the
Well, it is up
to
the Oscars. They put him on the damn stage.
But I think it's just awkward, like. I mean, it takes away from the
Killian's big moment,
so,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really his big moment. He won the actor already, but...
Like, what was your man's name last year for Best Actor?
Who won it last year?
Brendan Fraser.
Oh,
but it was, what was your man's name? The Kwai John or something.
By
he was
John?
In Kwai.
Oh.
He was in Indiana yeah. Jones and he did what a great, he did great when he was announcing the, what you call it?
Yeah.
The award.
Have you ever seen Everywhere? Have you seen that film?
Anything Everywhere at All at Once. Is
have
that
you
what that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, have you seen
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I don't Why? Think I will either, to be honest with you. Doesn't look like my cup of tea, to be honest with you.
I don't know, the trailer looks kind of good.
I was thinking I might actually give it a watch. It might be a movie of the week soon. But I don't know. Should that really win? I don't know. We'll reserve judgment. I haven't seen it. But anyways. Worthy winner this year. What do you think?
Yeah. I don't think there's anyone really that too close to him, to be honest.
No.
I think Killian was cruising.
I don't think anyone is really arguing with it either, you know. I think that people argue with it just for art's sake, you know. But... I think that there are more artistic films, there's more kind of impactful films, but Oppenheimer blew everyone away. And like, I was thinking about today, it's the one film where it's been, it's been bigged up for so long. It had been bigged up for so long.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy in this lead role had such scope for going wrong as well. You know, I was thinking like, this film is not going to be great. It's going
could
to
have
be
been
a,
really boring.
A 3-hour biopic about a physicist. You know what I mean? And then you add in the score, the direction, the cinematography, the acting. It was just a really...
But the attention to detail and shit like this. Very fucking cool.
Brilliant
but,
culmination of everything.
Like, he was up against Bradley Cooper, who put a lot of time and into Maestro, and he seemed to have lost his mind.
But he really went for that. I mean, in a really kind of cringy way.
Did you see he was doing an interview there with your man Maestro's family.
Mm.
And he started breaking down crying when he was talking about
him. Even behind or
but he's never met the man.
Mm.
Maybe he met him in spirit or whatever, but...
Oh my, but
he's quite the method actor by the looks of it. And he did 6 years of...
learning how to compose.
Yeah, I think that's a bit much, to be honest.
I think it is too. I like Bradley Cooper, but I just thought he just went too far. He did too much with that, you know?
Yeah, and we got Chrissy Nolan straight back to work, writing his next movie.
For real?
Yeah, I heard on the radio there on the way over. After winning 2 Oscars, he's right back to work.
I hope that man never stops.
Man's a machine.
He is. So anyways, we'll go through the winners. I suppose the big winners. Lead actor, obviously Cillian Murphy, up against Paul Giamatti.
Boom.
Jeffrey Wright, Bradley Cooper, and Colman Domingo. Must watch The Holdovers, because I think that was Paul Giamatti's role, and that's the one where he probably faced the most competition. Supporting actor then, what do you think? Do you think he deserved it?
I haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon with Robert De Niro, or Poor Things, actually, with Mark Ruffalo.
I don't think you've seen any of these films by...
Or Barbie, Ryan Gosling. Or American Fiction, actually, by the looks of it.
But American Fiction is on... Actually, I think American Fiction should be our movie of the week. Would you like to veto?
I don't even know what it's about, man.
It's on Prime Video. So, easy watch. Would you like to veto?
Yeah, veto work away. Corleone. Yeah, grand.
Okay.
I was thinking we could have watched Poor Things, maybe.
Yeah, we could watch
Poor Things. We probably should have had watched it before doing this episode, but... Oh, well. Let's stick with American Fiction.
Okay.
Well, continue, please.
No, you just made me think we probably should have watched that.
It's actually very strong.
Why'd you gonna do me like that, man?
Actors in a sporting role. It's very strong this year, by the looks of it. Yeah. Big names.
There we go.
But I can't imagine Robert Downey Jr. not winning it. Like, I think it might have been a legacy award as well.
Yeah, I think I was reading an article today that someone else should have won that, but I'm not giving it to Ryan Gosling anyway. Jesus Christ.
I don't think anyone's going to win it if they're playing Ken in Barbie. Yeah,
shouldn't really. Then lead actress, the topic of today.
Before we go on to that, we got to just mention Ryan Gosling's performance.
Yes.
Of I Am Ken.
Yes, that would be...
Brilliant.
It would be remiss of us not to mention that.
It's one of the highlights, to be honest.
Yeah. Fair play to him.
Yeah, big time.
He's not afraid to laugh at himself, anyway.
So why would you be? When he's on, getting nominated for Academy Awards by playing Bloody Well Barbie.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's the man. I can throw in a little fact now, if you want.
You know what? It's time for a fact.
All right. Let me just find it. So he's played a love interest 3 times with Emma Stone.
Yes. Let me tell you.
And it would have been a fourth. But first, please. Right. It would have been a fourth, but they were both dropped for the movie Focus, 2015, no, with Margot Robbie and Will Smith replacing them.
I can tell you the 3 films.
Right. Name them.
La La Land,
mm-hmm.
Crazy Stupid Love,
mm-hmm.
Gangster Squad.
I haven't seen it.
I think that's it. Do you want to look that up? Do you want to fact check?
Please.
I'm saying it to you. I think that's it.
What was it called? Yeah, you're right.
Is it?
Josh Brolin, Sean Penn.
Josh Brolin.
Come on, man, bring a bit of energy here.
I actually have a little fact here.
Oh, for once?
I don't know, should I save it for later? I'm going to save it for later.
All right, actually. Nice, I like that.
Okay, go on to lead actress. So, she's up against
Annette Bening for NIAID, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Huller, Kerry Mulligan for Maestro.
Do you know who any of them are?
I know who Lily Gladstone is. I know who Kerry Mulligan is. I've seen clips of Sandra Huller in Anatomy of a Fall. In fairness, she does look phenomenal. I've seen clips of Lily Gladstone, same as... I think Lily Gladstone was the outlier there. She probably, maybe could have, should have, would have won that. Just I've seen
a few clips. Yeah, I saw a poll there that she was just behind Emma. Well, not just behind, but she was ahead of everyone else. She was on like 23% and Emma had like 50% of the vote. So
I think Emma Stone is just such a well-liked person in Hollywood at this stage. And she is very, very talented. But anyways, we'll get on to that. Supporting actress then, Davine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Emily Blunt last out for Oppenheimer. Harsh.
Have you seen The Holdovers?
No, to be fair, I haven't. But I'm just saying, I'm not sure if someone like Emily Blunt is going to get too many cracks at the whip, you know?
Yeah, that to be fair, that role suited her down to the ground. Like,
yeah, Jodie Foster got nominated as well.
Did she get enough screen time, do you think? I think she only had like 16 minutes or something.
Yeah, but that's it. Account for Florence Pugh in it as well, so I don't know. I feel like she did the best she could with what she had.
Yeah.
America Ferrera for Barbie. She was quite good, actually, but not really worthy of an Oscar, I wouldn't say. Danielle Brooks for Color Purple. It's not really the most stacked field, I have to say. Jodie Foster for NIAID. I mean, I've watched Jodie Foster recently, and you know Jodie Foster from Silence of the Lambs.
Mm.
I don't know. She's a bit hit and miss. But anyways... Holdovers is another one that we should watch soon.
Animated feature film, The Boy and the Heron beat Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Spider-Man. I think people
I've seen the two of them, yeah, but
I've only seen the first
all the Marvel one. Fans were crying about it. It's brilliant.
But that is very good. That's a step above.
I don't yeah, to be fair, animated feature film like The Boy and the Heron, I didn't see that losing. The last Ghibli movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Serious fucking visuals and the animation was pretty cool, but like, to be fair, Across the Spider-Verse was something else, like.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen animation like that ever before, really. But The Boy and the Heron was just a stronger. So it was just
deserved winner?
Yeah, definitely.
Fair enough. So then, international film, Zone of Interest. Have you heard about this one?
No.
Zone of Interest is basically directed by Jonathan Glazer, who did Sexy Beast. Don't look at me like that. You did Sexy Beast with Ray Winston. Zone of Interest is about this family outside of a...
Jonathan who?
Jonathan Glazer.
Oh, sorry.
Do you want me to say it again? Or to get a bit of a kick out of it if I say it again? Honestly,
you're your own man.
I'll say it one more time. Do you want me to say it 100 times?
See if I care.
Jonathan Glazer.
Oh, you're brilliant, man. Please continue.
Jonathan Glazer? Jonathan Glazer directed Zone of Interest.
Okay.
Zone of Interest. Would you like to know what it's about?
Yeah, go on.
About a family outside of a concentration camp. And it's about the monotony of their day-to-day lives while the horror of what's happening in the concentration camps is going on unseen behind them, basically.
It's not really a laughable subject.
Oh, my God. Anyways... Interesting category, the score, music score. Do you know who won?
Oppenheimer, yeah.
Yeah, Ludwig Göransson, well deserved. But who else was in the category? One of our former episode topics.
Johnny Williams.
Johnny Williams, boy.
My man.
For Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. So
he's still churning them out.
He's still churning them out, fair play to him.
Am I right to say that he's goated, or can I say that?
Goated X. I don't know yet. I think Hans Zimmer is coming on pretty strong, but you probably could say
he did Dune, didn't he?
Dune?
Dune.
Did you call it Dune?
What'd you say, June?
I said June.
The month, man.
The month, man. What are you doing today? What are you doing this week? You've changed. You're like Oisín Davenport.
Oisín Davenport. He has changed.
Oisín D, all three on Snapchat. Anyways, yeah, so that's musical score. And then Billie Eilish won the... her second Oscar at the age of 22.
Don't forget about Phineas, her brother. Phineas.
Sorry, yeah, that's a good point. Little spoken about Phineas, but definitely worth the acclaim as well. So,
is it only her second?
Her second year.
Yeah, I suppose.
She's the youngest. But
she's probably tearing up the Grammys as well.
Oh, she's
crazy.
Jesus Christ, like, she's doing everything.
But what did she... She did the latest Bond.
Yeah, that's what she got the other one for. Yeah. What was that? Was that No Time to Die or something like that?
It's pretty good, actually.
It was pretty good. She's very talented, to be
best
fair.
Best Picture.
And Phineas.
Oppenheimer.
Then Best Picture, Oppenheimer, and Best Director, Christopher Nolan. So, yeah, I suppose Lily Gladstone is probably the biggest loser, and Emma Stone is maybe one of the biggest surprises, and that brings us to...
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. There you go. Perfect little segue.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah.
You should write that down. Have you got any facts on Emma Stone there?
I've got so many facts
about like where she's born and her age and...
See, senor.
Her marital status and whatnot.
Why do I need to care about her marital status? That's a very sexist thing to say.
Why? Explain.
Why would you care about her marital status?
It's called facts about her. It's in her Wikipedia, man.
It's just
weird.
It's
called research.
It's just weird.
Facts don't care about your feelings, right?
Okay, Emma Stone, age 35 years old. Let's go through her filmography first. You're really annoying me. I suppose you could start chronologically. 2007, Superbad.
Burst onto the scene.
Well, that's kind of the first major role, we'll say. So yeah, starts off at Superbad. Then closely followed by Zombieland 2009.
Classic.
Easy A 2010. The Help 2011. Crazy Stupid Love 2011. Nothing in 2012. Then 2013, The Croods. Have you seen that?
No.
The cartoon. It's pretty good. That's The Croods. Then 2014, Birdman, which I absolutely love. We'll talk about that later.
I need to give that another go.
2014. Then we come to 2016, La La Land. Battle of the Sexes, 2017. The Favourite, 2018, which is phenomenal. And then, let me see, bit of a...
Jeez, you've seen all of them.
Yeah, bit of... I've seen most of these films. 2023 then, Poor Things. I think I've seen all these...
I think you're going to watch Poor Things.
Oh, sorry, Cruella 2021 and then Poor Things 2023. So, yeah.
I think I'm going to give Poor Things a go.
I think I will as well.
Out of respect for Willem Dafoe.
Mark Ruffalo as well. So some facts about Emma Stone.
Go on, enlighten me.
So her real name is Emily Jean Stone. So Emma Stone is actually not a real name. Her real hair colour is blonde. This is a cool fact. She was convinced to change her hair colour...
Superbad, sorry.
By Judd Apatow on the set of Superbad.
I couldn't help myself there, I'm sorry.
You're cool.
Because I already have that fact.
And another fact is, at 14 years old, she created a PowerPoint presentation to convince her parents to let her become an actor.
So that's pretty cool. So they're obviously against it.
Well, not exactly against it, but she just wanted to show them how passionate she was about it. So anyways, we'll crack later. On with the...
Did you know?
Ooh! Go on.
Her low-pitched, husky voice. Apologies.
You can't do that. You just can't do that. We're going to have to start again now.
Alright, sorry listeners.
Stop.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Her low-pitched husky voice is a result of having baby colic, a condition of chronic crying as an infant. It lasted 6 months and resulted in the development of nodules.
Nodules.
She has calluses on her vocal cords as an adult.
I read that fact as well. I think I probably read that fact before you. Because I've done a lot more research than you.
Pretty cool, okay. What's this?
Don't get lost now.
Oh, fuck.
Hey!
I got a virus. 1 second.
Are you serious?
Don't worry. I sorted it out. Shit.
Start sending your CVs, people.
She didn't know she had asthma until she had an asthma attack while filming Easy A.
Jesus.
Boom.
Bad time.
Has matching bird tattoos with her mother. The bird referring to the Beatles song, Blackbird. Sir Paul McCartney drew the bird himself.
Pretty cool.
Do you want to go toe-to-toe with me with facts ever again?
No, I don't.
Okay. Anyway, the brilliant Emma Stone.
Where would you like to start here? Because this is an incredible filmography. She's only 35.
I think we should just start with Superbad.
Start with Superbad, baby.
I don't think there's much to say about it because
everybody's seen it.
Everybody's seen
50
it.
50 times.
Everybody agrees it's maybe the best comedy of all time. Maybe.
Apart from Step Brothers, but.
Apart from Step Brothers, yeah.
I think, have we done a comedies episode?
We haven't done a flat out comedies episode like that.
Just subgenres.
Just subgenres, yeah. Start off with Superbad. I believe we have a little clip here from Superbad.
Thank you for reminding me.
No problem, sir. Just to give you guys a little reminder of how great this film really is.
It looks like you're right. So, this is my last chance and I fucked it up.
Your last chance to do what?
To make you my girlfriend for the summer. You're like the coolest person that's ever talked to me. I thought we'd both be drunk.
What does me being drunk have anything to do with it?
You ever get with me if you were sober? Look at you. Look at me.
Seth, come on, you didn't blow it.
I think maybe...
What the fuck?
Classic, classic.
Never gets
classic,
old.
Classic. So yeah, that's Superbad.
So she was only 18 in Superbad.
I think you want to fact check that.
Probably. Yeah, I saw that in a little TikTok there, but
would that make sense? Let me just.
I don't even know. Well, what year was she born?
13, 13 plus 4 is 17. 17 minus.
Trying
not
to think too hard there.
Yeah, it's 18. Yeah.
Nice.
There's quick maths there by me. Holy shit!
Well done.
I couldn't subtract 17 from 35.
You gotta get back to school, man.
17 from 35. Yeah, mm-hmm. That is.
Yeah.
That is 18.
Yeah.
Where do we go from there? We go to Zombieland.
Oh.
Another absolute boom. Bangers.
One of my favourites as a kid, man.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
It's a bit scary, like. A little bit scary.
It was, but it had the comedy and...
That freaking Bill Murray, man.
Kind of witty fucking zombie humour, like, you know. The zombies were cool in it.
Mm.
Nice little story going on.
Okay, it always strikes me how short that film actually is. It's like barely an hour and a half.
Serious 90-minute flick, but...
I love Jesse Eisenberg in it as well. He's so perfect for that role. I love his little, like, rules.
They were perfect for each other in that movie, man.
Yeah.
She was a badass. Woody Harrelson was...
Yeah, he's fun.
He was the icing on the cake. He was a cherry on top, that guy.
Yeah.
He carries it. What do you think of the second one?
I couldn't actually even... I think I got, like, 10 minutes in. I just found it so cringe.
It wasn't half bad, you know. You should have finished it.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a solid 6.7.
Like super,
but it's worth it. Like, I think you got to pay with respect to the first one.
But Zombieland is like a 8 point something. Like, it's a brilliant film. No, I couldn't get through it. I found the start so cringe. I don't know.
It's probably because that blonde one was in it.
Who's that?
She was kind of annoying.
It was so long ago.
Yeah, I just probably wasn't in within the first 10 minutes.
It was one of those things where I watched the ad, and I found like the ad really. Really badly put together.
Yeah, the ending was... it was ah.
But even the ending of the original isn't that great, like, but it's just the rest of the film. Like,
well, it's basically just a carbon copy of the first one, but it's a bit worse.
But just the way they play on all the zombie tropes and, like,
the stereotypes.
The humour and the irony of it and all that sarcasm, like, yeah, the stereotypes. But Amber Heard is in the first one as well. You know Amber Heard, the Pooh Girl. Johnny
yeah, I know the Pooh Girl.
She's in the first few scenes. She's the one that goes when he tucks the hair over the ear. You know that one? And he's like, I always wanted to tuck a girl's hair behind her ear. Come on, man, you gotta help me on this one.
Nah. Can't remember.
Amber Heard, Pooh Girl, she's in Zombieland. But yeah, it's just like really good camaraderie with all the cast, I think. They all work really well together.
Yeah, Emma Stone's likable, you know.
Oh, she saw it. Like, yeah.
Did you mention that she was in Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's here. What year is that Amazing Spider-Man, actually?
Oh.
That's the one year I don't have.
2012 or something like that, I'd say. She's in two of them, wasn't she?
And in fairness, she had great chemistry with Andrew Garfield as well.
Where would you rank her with the Gwen Stacy's?
Oh, man.
I put her second.
To Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. And then
open Kirsten Dunst was a third. Good. She was a good. What did you call her?
Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy?
Isn't that the name of the.
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Who's Gwen Stacy?
Who the fuck?
She's in some sort of other...
Was Zendaya Mary Jane as well?
Yeah, she was.
But as in, like, was her name Mary Jane in it?
Probably not.
Mary Jane, yeah. Kirsten Dunst is a very good one, though, I thought.
Gwen Stacy. She's in some of the... Gwen Stacy was in Spider-Man.
Gwen Stacy. I never heard that name before, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, no, that was her name.
Really?
Yeah, Gwen Stacy. That was Emma Stone's character's name. In the Spider-Man.
Yeah, but if you're going to say, yeah, was she the best Gwen Stacy, that's that not the correct... Yeah, listen, that character, but that character was started by Mary Jane. Again. She was started by Mary Jane.
See, I knew it was right. I didn't even look that up.
Kirsten Dunst is the best love interest in Spider-Man, so...
True, I agree.
Yeah, but... Okay. Anyways, The Amazing Spider-Man, yeah. So, that was what? 2012, was it?
By my estimation.
By my estimation.
number two was 2014, so...
Okay.
The first one was in or around 2012.
Okay, so then moving on from Zombieland, which, great film, to another comedy role, Easy A in 2010. You haven't seen this film?
Nine.
Easy A is a funny film, to be fair. She really, like, she makes the film.
What's it about, though? Is she a substitute teacher or something?
No. You're thinking of A Bad Teacher, I think, with Cameron Diaz. Easy A is where she's a high school student... And basically she's a bit of a goody two shoes, but she wants a bit of recognition. She wants she wants to be known around the town, so she basically lads pay her to say that they got off with her. So like they'll say, some lad will give her like $50 to say, oh, you gave me a so we can say around the town that she gave him a blowjob down behind the school grounds. So, that's basically the whole...
Just for a quick buck?
Yeah, so basically for a quick buck, yeah. And then that kind of gets the ball rolling. Then it's like a good teen kind of comedy, but she really brings it together. Good, decent ensemble cast.
Okay.
Stanley Tucci is in it. What's her name? Lisa Kudrow is in it. So, yeah, it's pretty funny. And... So, yeah, that's...
Let me just show a little fact for you there.
Go on.
There's only two other actresses in history that have got more Oscars for best female actress.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, yes. And...
Wait, let me guess. Would I know this?
No. She's from, like, the 30s now. Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she got one in 33. She got one in 67. And she got one in 68. And she got one in 81. She got four.
Wow.
That's good going.
What was one of them? Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I don't know where you pulled that out of, but no. Meryl Streep has won three.
Let me guess what Meryl Streep has for. Kramer versus Kramer.
Okay.
Bridges of Madison County?
Nope.
Fuck. Ooh.
She was a lady.
Oh, the Iron Lady?
Yeah.
And, I know this last...
She had a big decision.
Oh,
she had to make her mind up.
No, I don't know.
Sophie's Choice,
yeah. I think that's set in Ireland. But yeah, so she's on two Emma Stone.
Yeah,
already.
She's tied with a few. I think three others, but
okay.
For
that's
two,
nice
but that's
little, that's a nice little tidbit there.
Yeah, I actually did a bit of research for that. I thought of it myself.
Fair play. So then next film, we move from Easy A on to a stacked year, 2011. Starting off with The Help. Have you seen The Help?
I did years ago. It's very, very good.
Very good. Viola Davis. Incredible performance. About basically black women who worked in homes in, I would say, 50s. 50s America?
Yeah, 50s. Maybe early 60s, yeah. If even.
Down south. And just, yeah, down south, yeah. And just the kind of...
So she was... part of the family that hired The Help, and essentially The Help got quite close to the family.
Yeah, they were good to her. Emma Stone is a nice character.
First, yeah, that's the same movie, isn't it?
I think she works as a journalist or something, Emma Stone. But then you have Dallas Bryce Howard. Is it Bryce Dallas Howard? Yeah,
she's evil.
She's very good as the evil one. But I think in that film, Viola Davis kind of steals the show. Octavia Spencer is in that as well, and she's very good. She's one, you know that scene where she makes you run the pie?
The two of them, Octavia and Viola, are phenomenal.
Phenomenal actresses. But do you remember that scene where she makes it the pie?
The poo pie, yeah.
Oh, brilliant, man. Absolutely brilliant.
Was there another movie, or am I thinking of the same one that was similar to The Help? It was...
It was
Octavia Spencer.
I can't tell you what the name of it was, though, but there's something ringing the bell from what you're saying. But anyways, yeah, Emma Stone is kind of, she's one of the good ones in it. Another brilliant film to have in your record.
I think that wasn't The Help, though. Octavia was hired to this really rich house, and she helped the woman of the house out with a few things because she was a bit simple.
I don't know.
And it was behind the husband's back.
I don't know. Might have watched that one by yourself.
No. You've definitely seen it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. Anyway, back to The Help.
I always just remember Viola Davis in it. You was good, you was kind, you was important. Remember that scene?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Sorry.
Are you going to get this up or not?
Oh, I don't know. I can't find it. It's annoying me.
This is what I have to do. I've come out with shit while Byron is sitting here. Finding these silly ass stuff on a computer. Apologies. I think you're just not good at research on the button.
On fly, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to record off my phone, so I have no real modem to... I've no medium on which to research.
I'm just going to go with The Help. I think it is The Help, all right?
Okay. So then, 2011 produced another film. And it's an important film for us because it was, I think, one of our first Movie of the Week reviews. Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Ryan Gosling, they brought it up for this one. I think...
That was it was a good movie, that one.
Yeah, it was very good. It is a really good rom-com. The highest caliber rom-com, I would say.
Yeah, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling. What is it, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone? They just...
Just great.
Chemistry, man. It's great
chemistry. Cool. They really do, though.
I think when Ryan Gosling turns it on, he could have that with anyone. You think?
I would say that about her.
True. The two of them.
I'd say it's more her, though.
What is it, though? Do you think?
I think, first of all, she is a much better actor than him. I would say that off the bat. No problem standing by that.
But she's got two Oscars, man.
Yeah. I think she's just more natural. She's got a bigger range.
She isn't even acting half the time, really.
Yeah, she's just doing her thing.
She's born for that shit.
I think she's like... I feel like now she's what Jennifer Lawrence was supposed to be, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's a cool point.
Jennifer Lawrence was built for that kind of stardom. She was really...
Well, like very versatile. Poised.
Yeah, she was poised to be able to do everything. Like, but I feel like Emma Stone has surpassed her at this stage.
Maybe it was just landing better gigs, the ones that suited her.
Probably. But I just...
Jennifer Lawrence has an Oscar as well.
Yeah, but she's had a few swings and misses, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I know she won for Silver Linings Playbook. I've seen that film with Bradley Cooper.
But Emma Stone, like... She doesn't really seem to miss.
No, she doesn't miss. Look at these films. She doesn't miss, man.
Yeah, but it's such a broad fucking... Such a variety there.
Yeah.
Like, she likes a good old popcorn flick, then she likes an Oscar-worthy flick.
Well, you can see a bit of progression here. She starts off with the comedies. And
she's
then,
just doing the rounds.
But it does build very nicely. So, it goes from Crazy Stupid Love, 2011, which you've already talked about, to The Croods in 2013, which is a really good animation if you haven't seen it. It is actually.
Yeah, I've seen a few things and it looks alright. Was Jack Black in that?
Oh, I don't think it's Jack Black, no. Might pull it up there. I could be wrong.
I already have it pulled up.
I'm trying to think who was the main dude in it. It's like an Adam Sandler, but it's not.
It's Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds?
Mm-hmm.
My man. I watched Deadpool recently, actually. It's a phenomenal film.
He's Deadpool 1 and 2.
He really is. I think there's a new one coming out as well with Wolverine.
Yeah, but I think they did him dirty in the first one when they sewed his mouth together.
Yeah, what was
that? Origins,
yeah. I liked that film.
He was a cool, he was a really scary Deadpool, that.
Yeah, he was.
That frightened me.
Was he supposed to be Deadpool in that?
Yeah, he was supposed to be Deadpool, but they, I think it was a, some sort of comic version of him or something silly like that.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a Marvel guy, man.
Well, maybe it's just a different variation of him, so.
Yeah, you know, like, there's always some sort of comic,
weird,
fucking abstract character.
Yeah.
Version of the character in comics.
But they make reference to it in Deadpool. They make reference to his, like, character in there. You know the way he had, like, blades
coming out? Yeah, but, like, he was witty, really, really, really witty, like, in the first half of the movie, you remember?
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
When they didn't transform him.
Yeah, and then he went and did Green Lantern.
Next.
So, The Help, Crazy Stupid Love to The Croods. From The Croods, then goes to this film. I love this film. You don't like this film? Birdman. Oscar winner.
Did I say I didn't like it?
Alejandro G. Iñárritu.
It was Michael Keaton, wasn't it?
Michael Keaton, Edward Norton.
We touch on Michael Keaton and at the Oscars with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
I haven't seen this bit.
They just did a running gag about how they were in the same movie and they were shooting the shit, and then it pans over to Keaton and he's just like, bring it on.
Cool. Oh, because they were in the film. Were they in
Batman Begins? Not Batman Begins, but Batman and Robin or something they were in, wasn't it?
No, that was George 90s Clooney. Batman.
Well, it was earlier, it was in the 80s,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, he was in the one with Jack. Yeah, with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. But Michael Keaton was. He was the 80s Batman, wasn't he?
Mm. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the one with George Clooney. And I think Danny DeVito.
No, was Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. We're in a film. We're in the same film.
Yeah. With Michael Keaton.
It wasn't Michael Keaton, though. Look it up there, I swear to God.
Let me think about this. Let me just do some timelines here.
That wouldn't have been Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm calculating here, man.
You're doing a beautiful mind on this.
I'm not going to say you're right, but you might be right.
So you're... Yeah, so why were you alluding to the Oscars? Hmm? What a moot point, like.
What are you talking about, man?
You were talking about the Oscars.
They were talking about their Batman villain characters.
But you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito have been in a film themselves as well, called Junior.
Yes.
Where Arnold Schwarzenegger gets pregnant.
But that wasn't the context of it, like, it's what they weren't talking about.
Okay, so...
And why are you questioning me on it? You haven't even seen the scene.
So what is
the haven't seen it, like.
No, I'm just asking.
Did you even watch the Oscars?
Will we get back to the list?
You don't care.
Can we talk about Birdman for a second? Why didn't you like Birdman?
No, you can skip Birdman.
Why did No. Why didn't you like Birdman?
Alright.
Why didn't you like Birdman? I want to know.
Did I say I didn't like it? This is
you said you had to turn it off halfway through.
Yeah, because I had to go do something. And I never got back to it.
You said, before we came on air.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
I thought it was phenomenal. I genuinely thought it was the best film I'd seen at that time. I watched that film like 4 times when it came out. I don't know why. I just thought it was... I just loved the intensity of it. Like, it's just... It's the almost one like shot. One take, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I liked Edward Norton in it.
Edward Norton, yeah. He was... yeah, he was brilliant in it.
I watched like the first 20 minutes. It was a bit confusing about the whole supernatural element of it.
Mm, but I like that. It's kind of the little je ne sais quoi in it, you know? That's French.
Big word.
But I like Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. He's very talented.
Oh, well, he was in the new... Did we watch something with him? He was in recently. The Founder.
Founder. Did you watch that? We were talking about it.
I watched the first half of it again.
Yeah, it's actually very good.
It is, yeah. He is good, though.
Talk about Emma Stone, that it's kind of... It's the first... Not the first, but it's definitely a step away from her usual roles at that time. Bit of more seriousness. She's kind of a rebellious... the rebellious daughter of Michael Keaton. And she's obviously going acting in this play that he's written and directed. And she's kind of trying to find her way in the world. She's a bit angsty. She's a bit, you know, frustrated. But she's really well-balanced role. Really well-acted, you know. And kind of sets the trend from then on, you know. Any thoughts?
I can barely remember it.
Oh, my God. So would you like us to move on?
Please.
Why did you not like this film? I don't understand. Birdman is really good.
Oh, so just because you liked it, I should like it.
Okay, we'll move on. So, you talk about the next film, Asshole.
Cheers.
So, 2014, Birdman. Then moves to...
Birdman? Let me see that a second. Let me do some research.
Yeah.
I'm doing research live. Oh, fuck.
Language, please.
Sorry. I think he won an award for Birdman.
Yeah, he did. He won Best Oscar.
Yeah, 2015.
And he won Best Picture of Birdman.
See, like, you're just talking about all these movies here, but I'm fact-checking these. I've got all
the stats. You don't have to.
Okay. Just remember that.
We're right? Just trying to have general discourse the next film about here. The films.
2015.
But you can't participate because you didn't watch it.
La La Land.
Another one you haven't watched.
Listen, I don't like musicals. You know me. I've stated this many times before, and I'm gonna die on that post. That's why I'm not watching La La Land.
La La Land is brilliant. I'm not a massive musical man either. I can understand your dislike of them, but La La Land is, oh man, aesthetically even, it's just phenomenal. Like, it's a really, really brilliant film. So I think that you need to give it a go. I think even for the camera, for the on-screen chemistry that Emma Stone and Ryan Reynolds have.
I don't doubt it. It's definitely there. Like,
and the music is brilliant in it. Like, it's really, really good. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of melancholic. It's got, you know, bluesy elements to it. It's got, obviously, LA and a beautiful... LA looks beautiful in it. The performances are on the money.
Yeah, it looks good, and she's won an Oscar, so yeah. I don't doubt that it's a classic.
But again, I people talk about their chemistry. I think, just think she is more talented. I think she brings more to her roles. There's more vibrancy with her.
Yeah, and she's only 35 as well, which is nuts. It's
crazy. It is really crazy.
She's a long career ahead of her.
Imagine having two Oscars at 35.
Imagine having this filmography at 35.
Yeah, I know.
Bosh.
But I think La La Land is definitely well up there with her films. As I said,
there's always people just mentioning it the whole time. Like,
but it, like, the colours in it, like the colour palette in it is phenomenal. The contrast in colours, really visually pleasing. And I have a little fact here. Nice. This is probably the coolest fact of the whole lot.
Okay.
So, I think I'm going to need a drum roll at this one. Can you give me...
Just hit us with the fact. You haven't earned a drum roll yet.
Miles Teller and Emma Watson were supposed to have the main roles in this film.
Ooh.
But the scheduling worked, conflicts.
I think it would have worked because I like Miles Teller.
I like Miles Teller. Emma Watson would have had to bring her A game. She's out of acting,
like,
now.
He's not as, you know, it wouldn't have been as much of a star-studded cast if Ryan Gosling wasn't there. I don't think it would have seen the Oscars if Miles Teller was, you know, he's a brilliant actor and all.
I disagree with that.
I disagree. Ryan Gosling's got it.
Can you move closer to the microphone, please?
No.
Did I say you could stretch out?
No. I'm doing it anyway.
Meow. So anyways, yeah, that's my little cool fact on La La Land.
Yeah. It's a pretty entry-level fact there.
So then La La Land goes to Battle of the Sexes. Now, I know you haven't seen this, but it's based on a real-life event. Emma Stone plays Billie Jean King, who plays Steve Carell, who is a male tennis star. And they basically play each other in a game of tennis. Good comedy, but kind of, I suppose, very, very important kind of story. And true story as well, which is pretty amazing. So then from there, she goes to, that was 2017, then The Favourite in 2018. Now, you haven't seen this either, have you?
I don't think I've seen any of her movies, to be honest.
You really haven't.
I feel ashamed.
You should be. The Favourite, actually, if anyone's listening to this, there are people listening to this, of course. Such a huge name. The Favourite is really, really, really good film. My sister brought this, she recommended this film one time with the family, and didn't go down too well at all. There's a few risque scenes,
Well, so, was the whole family watching it?
The whole family was watching. So, pro tip.
Good move.
If you're going to watch this film, do not watch it with your family. And I think my grandmother was in the room as well. So, definitely don't watch it with your grandmother. Nice. The favourite is with Olivia Colman. She plays a queen. I don't know which queen.
Oh.
A pretty crazy queen. But then Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are her... What's the word? Her confidant. And they basically battle it out for her favor. Hence the favorite.
Is this like a medieval one?
Yeah, they kind of vie for her favor.
Yeah, they're trying to get left the house, is it? Or the castle.
Pretty much now, yeah. But there's a kind of a sexual element to it as well. Pretty weird, pretty fucked up. Yorgos, I just said the F-word.
Was Florence Pugh in that?
No, she wasn't. Yorgos Lanthimos, I think, was the director as well, who did Poor Things, if I'm not mistaken. Olivia Colman won the Oscar for Best Actress.
She did.
Well deserved. She is a phenomenal actress as well.
She started off with Peep Show.
Peep Show, yeah. Just shows like the comedy element kind of transfer as well.
I suppose if you want to be funny on screen, like, you have to be really, really comfortable in front of the camera.
Exactly. And clearly those two actresses are anyway. And Rachel Weisz is really good in it as well, to be fair. So that's kind of coming to that's where you're really getting at you're really serious roles in. But even still, there's an element of comedy to all of them, you know? That kind of dark comedy. And I've heard Poor Things is the same. It's kind of a dark comedy. So maybe there's something in that as well. So I think
that wraps it up.
Kind of wraps it up.
Fair play to her.
Yeah.
That's the going right there.
Fair play to Emma Stone. That's good going.
Shout out to Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Please come on the podcast. So yeah, that kind of wraps it up. Would you like to introduce our next segment?
I think you very well said by you actually throughout the pod.
Thank you.
You kind of carried that, but I give you that.
Thank you very much. Go on.
The Road.
Would you like to carry this segment? So. Let's give a little bit of a synopsis.
Oh,
tell the back. Try and sell this. You're a commerce student. Try and sell this to the listener without giving away too much.
Viggo Mortensen, End of the World.
Well said. You're just gonna
leave five words. And that's all it needed to pitch. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
So it's about Viggo Mortensen.
Mortensen.
Aragog. And basically Southern it's about I don't even know, the world's gone to shite. Everything's on fire.
Nuclear warfare, basically.
Was it nuclear warfare?
Nuclear fallout, yeah. That's
did they say that was a natural
book. That's the book.
Okay, have you read the book?
I haven't read the book.
You're a beast. Okay. So
I said I haven't read the
nuclear
book.
Fallout ensues.
Am I still a beast?
Of course. You're always a beast, man.
Thank you, man.
Anyway, Viggo Mortensen's missus is pregnant.
Charlize Theron.
She's pregnant. Anyway, nuclear fallout ensues. Well, basically, the film
cuts back and forth.
Oh my gosh, Jesus, you're getting on my nerves.
Really losing the train of thought here.
Tired, man. I'm tired of your shite. All right.
You're the king of dog shite. Okay. So basically, yeah, quotes back and
forth. I wasn't finished. Sorry.
Hmm.
I'm just trying to make this as uncomfortable as possible for you. Yeah, we've got to get that runtime up, okay?
So can you hurry up, please?
Apologies, listeners.
You're really slacking. You're having a bit of a breakdown here.
Am I?
Yeah.
Calm down. Anyway, end of the world, Viggo Mortensen. He's basically protecting his child, and they're trying to get down this certain highway to get to the coast.
Down south, yeah.
Down south, and throughout the movie, they're just trying to avoid these cannibals that are, you know, terrorizing the land. And a few little adventures along the way, and then it pans back to a bit of backstory on Viggo's missus and the son.
A few disturbing little side missions as well. But then, it splices with the story of how, you know, Charlize Theron, his wife, isn't there, So it cuts back to those flashbacks.
Yeah, he's missing her so much, and it.
Yeah.
We don't want to ruin it, like, but she kind of leaves in a.
In a very sad way. It's very visceral, like, it's very, very sad. I think it's well done.
But it just. It plays on, like, it seems to be very realistic now, to be honest. Like,
human
what people are going through when they're, like, penned up.
Yeah.
Which they were in the house.
And they're thinking about.
Months on end with. And they played a lot on the starvation side of nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
Like, throughout the whole movie, they're hungry and they're just scavenging for food. And I love the scene where they, he found a Coke.
Yeah,
a can of Coke, and he gave it to his son. Mm-hmm. And he'd never had a can of Coke before.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But it was smart the way they did the flashbacks, because they flashback to obviously what happened with the mother and when she left. But then they also flashback to a time when things were absolutely perfect. Like, even. So they flashback to the start of the nuclear fallout. But they also flash back to times when they're just chilling.
You know, learning the piano.
Sunny and day, yeah. So it was really nice that way. But then the present shots of post-nuclear fallout are so bleak. They're so...
gritty, man.
They're so gritty. Like, there's zero joy. There's zero light.
It's cold. It's dark.
Yeah. And you can see, obviously, that the suffering of... the father, Viggo Mortensen, and Cody Smith McPhee as well as the child, and he's a really, like, really, really good performance.
Very talented, very promising.
And then, so along the way, they meet Robert Duvall of The Godfather, who he's the old man, and that's a really interesting conversation he has with.
What was that line he said? Viggo was like, how haven't you died yet or something? And he was like, oh,
I don't have that
luxury.
This world doesn't afford those luxuries anymore.
That was pretty cold.
That was a very cold line. But yeah, I liked that little scene with him. And, like, pretty stacked cast.
But it was interesting, you know, when he met the old man and the son, because he was so young, he's innocent.
Yeah.
He didn't really understand the gravity of the situation when they're coming across, like, these strangers.
Yeah.
And all he wanted to do was give him a bit of food and help him out. But Viggo is his protector, so he's very... vigilant of him, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, what would you, like, you know, you'd be saying, what would you do in that situation, you know, and all this?
I don't know. Like,
I would left that guy behind. I'm out of there.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to, like.
It's ruthless.
Gotta be ruthless.
But there was this one particular scene involved in the basement. That's all I'd say. Yeah,
the basement scene is pretty gooshed. But I mean, you said it to me. You said that it's just as good as when I watched it the last time, and I haven't seen that film in.
Because we did build it up last year, last week. Sorry, but the ending was so good. It's so solid.
So solid. Very sad.
You know what? All these, like, natural disaster movies, all these, you know, survival ones. Like, even Zombieland doesn't have the strongest ending.
No, this one.
But this one, you know, it's probably the best part of the movie.
It's a bit happy, like, but I suppose you kind of need a bit of catharsis at the end of it. But yeah, I suppose that's The Road by John Hillcoat, the director. How would you like to rate it, Byron?
Oh, I never thought about it.
I've thought about it.
8.7.
Why do we always do that? Yeah, I've been thinking about this. Initially, it was like going to be even higher, but I think that it's an 8.8.
You just said that.
No, it's not.
You just said that because I said it was 8.7.
I should have said it first.
Well, you didn't, did you?
I swear that was my rating, 8.8.
Oh, you reacted like we had the exact same rating there.
Well, we had 0.1 off. People are going to think that we're conniving.
We need to be more controversial with these things, get the views up, you know, with these ratings.
If a film is good, it's good, you know. But we're going to get that review out to you guys. We're going to
8.7, good film, good movie, good watch.
Brilliant.
Good time.
Brilliant film. Good experience.
That's all I'm going to say. Good experience.
Good day out.
Good overall day out. Like,
add Ocean D03. Add up.
He's
on
changed
Snapchat.
That guy, honestly. I don't even know him anymore.
Yeah. Best of luck, whatever you're doing. He doesn't even listen to this.
Who is he? By the way.
Some guy. He's out in, I think.
Where is
it? Czech Republic or something like that.
Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia, I think it was.
Russia, I think it is. But anyways, whatever you guys are doing out there, to all our listeners,
don't change.
Keep doing what you're doing
and keep your fitness up.
Keep your fitness up, however you may do it. That's not our business.
Yeah,
certainly not Byron's business.
Just have an overall good time, you know.
Just have a good outlook. At Outlook.
At OisinDO3. Instagram.
At Outlook.com. Outlook. At gmail.com. So anyways, guys, whatever you're doing, have a good time. Do it well.
Have fun.
Keep having fun. Keep chilling. Keep killing.
Keep
doing your thing.
Keep moving.
I suppose that's the podcast.
Yep. I'm going to end it there.
I've been Conal Muldoon.
I've been Byron Kenny.
The Big Kahuna Podcast.
University of Hogwarts.
Over and out. See you next week.